good, you know. Ephesians chapter 4. It's certainly usually living by the book, but it's just messing to go together and work out for us all. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, praise the Lord. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he made captive, and gave gifts unto men. Not that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also who ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles. You go to read it. You go to read it. Verse 11. Ready to read. For what? Verse 14. Verse 15. Make an increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. And verse 11 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it goes on, so on and so forth. I thank God for an apostle. I'm grateful. I'm appreciative. One thing I always remember being a minister. One of the biggest problems that we have, that there is in ministry, is that submission is a problem. It's hard for people to fully submit. It's easy to say okay when it's going your way. But when it goes against the grain a little bit and it ruffles your feathers a little bit, that's when you know if you're submitted or if you're not. Never find yourself as a minister, never find yourself not having a connection or not having a covenant. Never allow yourself to be that. Never allow yourself to think that you know and nobody else knows. Never allow yourself to think that you got it. You got the message and nobody, and you're the only one got it. People, there's some, y'all class didn't get it too much, but there was, we used to do when we was out of town or when there was no classes, do the generals. And you know, like, name all the generals, Smith, Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Jack Cole, Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, I go down and listen, you don't know these people of great people of faith. And there was a couple of them that got off. There's one of them, I can't think of his name exactly, but he got off because he started thinking he was the prophet, Elijah. Started thinking he was the one. Great man of God. Did a lot of great things for God, but somewhere along the line, there was somewhere where government wasn't in place. And so where there's no government in place, there's no order. And where there's no order, there's a possibility that you can get off track. Where there's no government, where there's no order, where there's no definition of government, everything is everything. You're all over the place, left field, right field, you don't know where you're at. Government tells you, you know, you're riding on the road right now. There's some lines on that road, huh? And you know, when you get to the yellow line, and you get to the yellow double line, and you get to the skip line, that means one lane going that way, one lane going the other way. That is, it's governing the road. It tells you how to go. Now, if there were no lines, where you going to drive that? If there were no, and I'm just using physical government, everything physical came from something spiritual. If there was no stoplight, we'd just be running through the road, huh? Well, we're going to be somebody going to die. There's going to be some injuries. There's going to be some people all over the place. There's going to be some traffic jam. Now it's going to stop progress. So nobody gets to where they got to get to. Because there's nothing governing what's going on. There's nothing governing the movement. Stop sign. You ever been to a four-way stop sign?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You better stop. If you don't stop, somebody will get hit. It's not going to be good. So there are things that govern. There are things that are guidelines. It is in place to protect you. And we don't like red lights all the time. So we're just trying to get places sometimes, right? Y'all, in your course of your day, you know, you got them red lights that are longer than other ones. Y'all know those. I have a couple of those on my way to wherever I'm going. And they're a little longer. We don't like them all the time, but they're still saving your life.
Amen.
And they're still protecting you. And sometimes you need to stop a little longer.
Yes.
Government. What about the government?
Government
is powerful because it gives you definition. It gives your gifting. Yes, you are gifted. Yes, you are called of God. Yes, God has specific calling gifts for you. Yes, I can't do it. You're the only person that can do that. Yes, it is unique to yourself. It is unique to how God made you. Yes, but you need to be connected and lined up in government so that your gift can be refined and molded and sent in the right direction.
Amen.
There are many gifted men and women of God that have no covering, no apostolic government, and because they have no government, their gift will be dwindled away. They'll never be what God ultimately wanted them to be. You know, being gifted, or having a gift, I wouldn't even put it over, but being gifted and being anointed of God and having a calling in your life can be tricky sometimes if you don't pay attention to it. You know, the Bible talks about that no man can think of himself more highly. You know what I'm saying? And it's talking about, but God has given every man the measure of faith. He's given to every man the measure of faith. The Bible talks a lot about humility. You know, it's tricky when you don't have anything checking you for where you are. And you can get over somewhere and you don't know how you got there. No one man is an island. No one woman is an island. Y'all, you know what I'm saying. Everybody needs covenant. I told somebody yesterday, man, and y'all can say how y'all want about it, because I know it's my daddy. I'm not saying my dad, it's my daddy. But she's in mine too. But I tell people, he's my physical father, I got his DNA and everything, but he's my apostle too. He's my pastor too. I catch wolfers too. I get the reprimand too. And so I get them straight out the line. It'll be like straight out the bow. So, but I'm thankful, and it'll be wise for you to understand why you are here. And to understand that I stopped believing in coincidence a long time ago.
Amen.
There's no such thing. That's a word somebody made up to try to figure out something that they couldn't figure out.
Okay.
I stopped believing in coincidence a long time ago. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason that God connected you here for a reason. Now, you may not be all the way connected like, you know, you could be, but it's an opportunity. I thank God for having an apostle. I got an apostle and a pastor in one. Then he'd be teaching me stuff, and then, you know, then we got a gift in the midst. And I told him about that. I thank God because there are some things, I think I know a little bit about the Bible, truthfully, you do too, thinking about it, but there's some things that you don't see. There's some things that you just won't see. There's some things that ain't meant for you to see. You need somebody that's an overseer. Your supervisor, an overseer. He's called an overseer over. Come on, y'all. We ain't got to be deep. Under. Over. Seer. He's an overseer. That means he sees over what you see. He can see some things that you might not have seen. How many things we think we know? Now we get a pass right now. I don't know much. I'm never learning. But y'all know we think we know some things sometimes, don't we? Thank you. I'm going to speak to myself then. Because y'all don't want to talk to me right now. So speak to myself. You think you know some things, but then that overseer come in and say, oh, you missed this. You didn't see this. Or you thought this wrong. Oh, go back this way. I think I'm grateful. Listen. I'm grateful. Because I'll be out here by myself, Ronnie. I'll be out here and I probably wouldn't know where I'd be at. Trying to preach some word. And I ain't got no good grip on it. I thank God, even with the gratefulness, I thank God for apostles.
Yes,
to be able to come in and reprove. You know, the Bible says the goodness of God leads to repentance.
Yes, sir.
And I ran in the car, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, corrupt is the goodness of God. You know, reproof is the goodness of God. You know, discipline is the goodness of God. Because if I don't, at least do something with it, I don't know if anybody ever had this happen before, but sometimes with some young children, sometimes when they're babies, they have to do corrective things to their bones to make sure they grow a certain way. A corrective measurement, or even if you have braces or something like that, they're corrective measurement. They're to correct something from going the wrong direction, or something to grow the wrong way is not supposed to grow. So there's corrective measurement, and it may not feel good all the time, but it's still the goodness because it comes out good. So correction, reproof, discipline, all that the goodness of God leads to. But that's the goodness. That's goodness. The Holy Spirit has been helping me, man. I changed my total increase in grace, man. The way the pastor came in and corrected that thing and told us what we were missing at, I said, you right. And then I came to my government, and having an anointing that's higher than yours or that's seeing over than yours helps you to see some things that you would not have seen. And it puts you back on course. I'm just appreciative. I'm not messing with no connection. I'm not missing a connection because I know as he goes, so do I go. As the leader goes, so do the followers go. And so he gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, which is protecting the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the building up of the body. This is what the government is for. To protect, to mature. Everyone in the world, it's for the work of the ministry, which means we do have work to do. Amen. And for the edifying of the building up of the body of Christ. So now all of that falls in place to mature, to work, and to build up. To mature, to work, and to build up. To mature, to work, and to build up. If we don't have this in place, or we're not properly lined up in this line of government, then there will be no maturity, there'll be no work done, and there'll be no building up. Think about it for a minute. Now, the apostles are given these gifts, and he's giving from the apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What is that effective for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body? It's exactly for that. Now, if you're not lined up in that, you can't get nothing done. We're not coming into the unity. That's why there's so much separation now in the body of Christ. Because people, a lot of times, don't want to submit. So they want to do all these different things and get their revelations and do whatever they want to do, but they're not submitted to somebody. They're not submitted to an overseer. So now all you're doing is seeing on the level plane. I read a book, Coach Ivan, I think. I don't know if you had it in class. Because Coach Ivan started breaking down. He started breaking down the different gifts. So talking about what an apostle does and how he thinking. You know, anybody read the book? Well, you probably said about the part about the accident. If they come to the accident, what they gonna be doing? You got the apostle. It's so clear for me. It just helped me out a lot. We got the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. All of them thinking different. But see, your apostles and your prophets are totally concerned with heaven coming down to earth. No. They're not worried about how you feel. They're not worried about if you're mad or not. It's not really overly concerned about that. I'm trying to see what heaven has to say about now. What does heaven have to say about what we're preaching? What does heaven have to say about what we're doing? And so when I get it from heaven, I'm going to bring it way down, and we're going to make whatever moves we got to make. The apostolic and the prophetic, they're not concerned with what's on the level plan. And I'm not knocking nothing else. Every joint supplies. It goes further on. Every joint supplies. And everything is needed. But there's a line and an upline that God has decided to use. You know, it amazes me that sometimes we can go to work and the boss or the chief, whoever the top man is, we're cool. Yes, sir. I'll be on time, yes sir. Yes sir, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Right? And we figured out, we say, well, you know, you gotta work your way up the line, right? In the corporate world, right? You work your way up the line. You don't start off as the boss. You don't start off as a CEO. Why is the CEO anyway? Because the CEO has done something that you didn't do. He does something right to be able to hire you and pay you your salary. So it's a reason that he's in the position that he's in. And we do those things very easily when it gets down to church. And church where everybody wanna be a pastor. Right? Come on, come on, I'm not y'all seen it before. Everybody wanna be prophetic. I wanna be prophetic. How much experience? These young dudes become somebody I'm a, you know, I'm a 25-year-old pastor. All right. 26-year-old apostle. How is it? Connection. Everybody say connection. Everybody say line up. Be in place. Say be in place. Find your spot in government. Be in place. Make sure you line up in government. We can't mature. We cannot get any work done. And there'll be no edifying of the body if we, as ministers of the gospel, are not lined up. They say, well, I'm looking at somebody for love. They all come to you in the place of the knowledge of who? Knowledge of who? Who is that? Who is that? Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God until a perfect man, a mature man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, until the knowledge, not just knowing of Jesus, but actually knowing Jesus. Understand something, when you talk about knowing Jesus, it's not just knowing his name, it's not just knowing his other name, the translations of his name, right? It's not just knowing what somebody said about him. It's not just knowing that he is a deliverer, but who is he in you? I listen to this, and God said that they said, he's Jesus' sole purpose. Come to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure of the means. We should measure up to the stature of the fullness of who Christ was. Until we come unto the measure of the stature. Come on, think about how big do you think of Jesus? How massive was his presence on this earth? What was it that he went that things didn't change when he got there? Alright, but so we come into the unity and the knowledge of the Son of God and to every man and the measure. We come into the measure, so we measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, this is our goal. What would Jesus do, right? And we say, how would Jesus do this? You know, Jesus' sole purpose to be on this earth was to reveal the Father. No, man, listen, you might want to write that down. It don't sound too deep right now. But Jesus' sole purpose for coming, we say he come to do this and come to do that, and he come to this. Praise the Lord. His sole purpose was to reveal the Father's love. Jesus was talking and said, what you mean you ain't seen the Father? You ain't seen me? When you see me, you see the Father. He said, Jesus come to reveal the Father. And he said, so whatever Jesus was doing, whenever he did it, however he said it, whatever miracle that he did, he was just revealing God's mind on whatever that situation was. Wow. Think about your favorite miracle Jesus did for a second. Somebody yell one. Yell one out. What's your favorite? Come on. Talk to y'all. What's your favorite? Huh? Where's Lazarus? When he did that, when he got there, I think about this for a minute. Listen, y'all know what was in your mind, right? All right? When he got there with Lazarus, whatever Jesus did right at that moment was revealing God's mind on that situation. God said, if I would say what you want to is Jesus, this is what I think about this. I don't think that Lazarus could be dead. I think that he needs to get up. So God himself thinks that's what his mind. Jesus was showing us God's mind on earth. I mean, I think that. So now what he was doing, God said, if I was supposed to do something, what I would do. This is what I would want to happen here. Come on, give me another one. Then look at your blood. So God said, ain't that too hard for me? And when I met her, this is my mind on her. My mind is that you should not deal with this another day. And if I have a plan to come in contact with you and heal you, I will. Revealing the mind of God. How would the fight? So now, let's go. Feed all the thousand now. You say, feed 5,000. No, there's 5,000 men. And when time to women, too, we about 15,000 people out there, all right? Depending on how many children people got, all right? You talking about feeding. That's what God's mind was, no less. Water in the wine. That's why, God said, that's how I think about that. See, we have to come into the knowledge of the Son of God and say, thank you, man, to the measure of the fullness of Christ. We start studying Jesus, we got to realize what's going on. We're not just trying to see these cool stories so we have a message to preach, but it should be us. Continue. Huh? So we come into the measure of the fullness of God. Okay. So we come into that. So that type of action is happening in us. So now he's revealing, come on, go, the woman at the well. Had all the men, right? Yeah, the one you with ain't your husband either, right? That's what he told her, huh? But he said, you drink as well, but drink as well, and you'll never thirst again, right? And he told her, go and sin no more. That was God's mind on that situation. What not like your mind versus God's mind? Come on, what God done? If I come out the well and she was the one that you knew was in the future, you remember? All right. But God, this woman, I got to get off of this Jesus. He goes to the Pharisee's house. It was time to have a time now. It was Pharisee's house. You know, the Pharisees disrespected Jesus because they used to walk long ways. And he used to walk. They wouldn't ride no buggies, there wasn't no cars, no flying, none of that. He used to walk a lot of dust. So, you know, Jesus talking about putting dust on your feet. That's what he's talking about. He wasn't trying to be deep, it was really dust. All right. But when he gets to the house, the customer said, come on, y'all, we gotta read the Bible. Learn about the book, put it in here, read it together now. When you walk that much, you're walking and your feet are just naturally gonna be dusty. They ain't had no jeans, they ain't had no tennis shoes on, they ain't had no boots, they ain't had no socks. They're just feet and dust. All right, anybody listen a little bit, you know, I don't know, I wasn't there. But it's still going to be dusty, right? And when you get to the house, it's customary that when a man enters into your house, you give him something to wash his feet off. He's dusty. He gets to the Pharisee's house, he don't give him nothing. He ain't getting nothing. He ain't getting to wash his feet. He disrespected. Like, I know who they say you are, but I'm going to show you. And it was just for anybody that came to your house. But no, I'm going to low-key disrespect you. Jesus, whenever Jesus comes here, he comes to pass in the house. And about this woman that came in. Y'all know the story of the woman that came in. And now, not only is she wasn't a holy woman. Come on, go back and do it. She was out there, as we say, right? And so how did you smack in? You just don't walk into the Pharisee's house. The holy man. She's walking in the house. So she's smack in already, number one. Then she get here, and now she's a fellow of Jesus' feet, crying on his feet, and wiping his feet with her hat. And I heard somebody say, everything about this situation puts every button in that room. It puts every panic button. Y'all know right now, if a pastor was in here, and the one in y'all neighborhood that y'all know was no good, come in here and fell on his feet, you'd be like, Lord, this ain't right. Uh-huh. Come on, y'all, come on. See, hindsight, man, see, like, when we got hindsight, boy, it's real easy to have that thing. It's real easy. Well, I don't know if Peter denied Jesus. I don't know how that, yeah, because you saw the story already. You knew it all. You saw the beginning and the end. You got all the revelations, and you got all this way out. What would you have done if you got there, and they talking about they're going to kill you if you was with them? whatever they're coming to. Hindsight, well, we said, so we got hindsight, but we read the Bible. Man, they don't have been a book of it, no. They didn't have the Bible to read like you had. Alright, so, you know, y'all know the story, we can flip, but Jesus came in here, fell on his feet. Pushed every button in the room. They said, the disciples did. Somebody said, they could have voted, they probably told Jesus, hey, Jesus, not all that, give a little side hug and send all the way. This is too much. He said, what was this? She wants people to have, because she knew that the holy man of the house didn't give Jesus nothing. She let the holy man of the house, which was customary for to do, did not do it. But she knew that he deserved to have his feet washed. What's this relationship? What's this relationship with her? What is the relationship with this man and this woman that seems to be not in our camp? Seem to be not a lot of, what is this relationship? It's a father-daughter relationship. That is the mind of God on that situation. What Jesus did was showing what God thought of that. Come on. It's showing God's mind on that situation. Now, see, this is why praying in the Holy Ghost is very important, because we get off of our mind and get on God's mind. Throughout the day, throughout our course of our day, first of all, we are the church. And so, when we live, you live, I'm talking both of you fast, because living by the book is living by Jesus. Jesus is the book. Because the word is made flesh. That's great commandment, right? So, Jesus is the book, right? So, everything in the book is testifying to Jesus. And so, my daily, when I go out, go ye in all the world. The works that I do to you do also greater works than these that I do unto my Father. On my daily, you know, sometimes we think the works are done here at ministry school or the works done here at church, but no, this is the training for the works. What you working on in here anyway? You born again? Did you say anybody say? Is anybody in the right place? We're working, but we ain't getting nobody born again in here, because you're saved already. Right? See, the goal is to get them saved. You know, right? Yeah, the goal is to get them saved, right? You get them saved, and we'll work out the way. Let me get saved. Let me get caught fly. Let me get saved. So we're training here to do the work. Where are you going tomorrow? You're not going to be in the holiest of holiest tomorrow. You're probably going to be in the heathenness of the heathenness, right? You're probably going to be in the heathenness, right? But they need ministry. Yeah. Yeah. And so now, seeing God's mind and knowing God's mind and being lined up with God's mind has everything to do with how effective you are in this world. Praying in the spirit of the poison, what does praying in the spirit do? Take me off of my mind and put me on the mind of God. Take me off my own frequency and put me on his frequency. So now whereas I would have judged, God says, love. Whereas I would have rejected, God said, bring in. See? Now there's some things that God may reject too. There's some things that God may say, no, don't be that way. But we got to have the mind of God. And so now, I pray that in you all. That's why he said that. And why must you pray in the Holy Ghost? He said, well, you need my devotion time in the morning? Yes, and then after that too. All the time. Bible says praying always. What does that mean? How do I pray always? Praying always with all prayer subjects. Then he told me, pray without ceasing. What? I used to read that, I'd be like, who? Whoever that is or some other stuff, I ain't reached that level yet. Yeah, you can do it. Pray without ceasing. That means you be in the attitude of prayer. My father always told me, practice the presence of God. How much it costs for you to pray in the Holy Ghost? How much it costs you? How much do you have to put in your pocket, all right? $5 for 20 minutes in the Holy Ghost. Nope, you don't have to do it. You just start praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Come on. Boom. You do it when you want to. Whenever you want to. I used to be in high school praying all up in class. Like, Jesus on the text, boy. What you want? Give me long prayer. I'll do what I gotta do. Because I know that I gotta get it. I gotta get out of my mind. I'm doing what you want to. I'm not one of these answers. I need you now, Lord. Getting off your own mind, on his mind. Getting off of these things. Getting off of your mind, and on his mind, because your mind ain't got it. Your mind can't do it. God's mind is the perfect mind in this relationship. He always right. Ain't never wrong. Having access to never wrongness. I don't know if that's it. Having access to never being wrong. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. You're walking around every day with access to never being wrong. You don't ever have to be wrong. If you have access to power, if you become aware of God with us. But this is why. The love of God is set upon. Now, it didn't say the license of God is set upon your heart. That's not what that means when we say the love of God is set upon your heart by the Holy Ghost. We start taking nice and smiling at people and being kind. It'll make you kind. It'll make you nice. It'll make you smile at people. But it's more needed in that. It's deeper in that. The love of God gives instruction and gives reproof and gives direction and gives correction. This is the love of God. So now the love of God is set upon your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the mystery. You know, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you're speaking the mystery. Huh? What's the mystery? Well, we don't need to know where the song came from. What are you going to do for me tomorrow? Where the song came from, Jesus? Okay, have somebody get saved over there. We don't know. But we don't need that. That ain't the mystery that we need. The mystery that we need is when we come in contact with this person tomorrow, and there's a lot for you to minister to them. The mystery is, number one, should I minister? Because if you're going to be running around throwing slang scriptures, that's why it was wrong that people just throwing out scriptures everywhere. But when I do minister, give me the words to say, God, I want to reveal your mind in this situation. God, if you could talk to him, what would you say? I know you're waving ahead of my ways. But give me access. I don't need them all the time, so I'm not trying to be all knowing, forever knowing, but hey, let me be effective in this moment. Much praying in the Holy Ghost. Then I get on the mind of God. And then come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now the work that I do for you do also, greater work than me, so I go unto my Father. He's saying that whatever I did, you should do. So if I'm revealing the Father, you should expect God to do something amazing in you that reveals the Father. Listen, y'all, I'm tired of walking around normal. Are you with me? I'm tired of walking around and don't nobody see the. I walk a whole day and nobody seen the Father today. I'm not talking about because I walk in praying something. I'm not talking because I walk in with my Bible in my hand. I'm talking about just knowing the love of God, not by word only, but by deed also, revealing the mind of God, coming into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when they see us, they know, see, we've got to get over, what time is it? I can't, you got to tell me, you got to keep your own time. I don't know where it was at. We've got to know, we've got to allow God to work. It is God was working in you. You feel what I'm saying? He's working through you. He's working through you. Him. He's the one. I'm going to block the way. When I pray no words, I'm blocked away. So when I line up the government, I'm out the way. Because they're about me. I'm blocked where I got to be. And letting it flow. The Bible says the anointing always, everybody, a woman takes the hem of Jesus' garment. Because the anointing always flowed. They always poured the anointing. When they poured the anointing on the top and it flowed down. All I got to get is under. I gotta get lined up and get under. So that same flow can get on me. And then some for the pregnant thing, so we're gonna minister that kind of body. to rise from the physical knowledge from the God to the perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I can let you. So government, oh. So now my position, me lining up in government, and me being lined up with a proper covering has everything to do with me being able to measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Even Jesus understood. When Jesus got here, he had to let John the Baptist baptize him. No, Your Jesus Christ livelihood has everything to do with you lining up. And it gives us the ability to match up to the facts of the fullness of Christ. It gives us the ability to walk in a place and all that got to leave. It gives us the ability to love somebody to the point to where they see Jesus in a whole other way. It gives us the ability to lay hands on somebody and they got to get up. We're not seeing as many miracles as we should see because the government has been broken down. Everybody, everyone. That young dude, I was talking to a young dude in church yesterday, and he had a friend, and a young guy named Taylor. And Taylor said, I don't believe in God. He said, I don't believe in God. And so we talked to him, I just said, man, look, it's simple. God loves you. That's it. I ain't got no description for you. You wouldn't take a minute if I gave them to you. All he needed to hear was, he don't even know nothing about burial of God, so now I'm up to prove it. He is a God. He's with the God. He's with the Word of God. You don't believe there's no God? No. That ain't what he told me to do. God ain't never told me to prove him. God loves me. Said it a couple times and the boy said, God loves me. Well, that's the thought. You go from not believing there is a God to now you just said out your mouth, you know, that love and the power of the tongue, living the power in your word, you just said out your mouth, God loves. The other day, he just told his son, he said, man, he said, man, if I've been watching your life, he said, listen. He said, I'm changing. He said, I know God is in this place. I know God is here because I see it's different. It feels different. I see your life. You're always happy. I know God is sitting. Can we make a step? No, what are we going to do? We're going to put them on in. We don't have to learn, man. Calm down. We make them people all the time. Somebody might not have grown up like you. They might not have been crazy. They could be around the whole thing. You ever been somewhere you ain't never been before? And you was around the whole thing to turn down their street? You're the one you turn down the wrong street and you're in the middle of the road, you're like, oh, I got over. Sometimes it's like that for him. But God is in this place. Don't you say God is in this place? He starts saying, well, I just, and he starts talking about Christianity and different things and what his perception was and what he thought about it. And I couldn't blame him for what he thought because we church gunslingers. Y'all know we're playing scripture with the quickness, aren't we? Yep. Get you with that scripture book. Right? And we do it. And we just, no, God, I want to know how you want to do this. I want to know what you have to say about this, God. How would you approach this? Ask God. And you do, how long would you ask God? If you ask God, how would you approach this? The last time you had a problem, don't ask God to fix the problem. Where is the problem? Ask God how to do it. He said, I've given you the power. I've given you the ability. What do you think that power on the inside of you is for? I've given you the ability to be like. Reveal the Father. Listen to me. reveal the Father. Don't reveal your name. I don't even know your name. At the name of you, they ain't saying at the name of you every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus said, why are you lifted up from this earth? He said, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall, that's why we need to confess. Reveal the Father. Reveal the Father. Listen to me. Reveal the Father. Stop trying to reveal. That is the revelation. You know that, right? You want to give me revelation? Okay, the Father. That's the revelation. If you get a deep revelation and it's not applicable, it's not a deep revelation. How? Everybody say how. If I don't know how, you tell me to believe and receive. How? Tell me to live right. How? You tell me to walk by faith. How? If I don't know how, then it really don't matter to me that much. Now you just deep. When you're preaching, now you just deep. You gave a good word, everybody excited, but nobody knows. And if I don't know how, I can't get there. They care about whatever went the doctor. All the different things. A lot of people sound good, they sound really good preachers, they sound a good message, and they made it tell your emotions. And you got some notes to go preach somewhere else. But how? How? How do I take this and live it? How does this apply to life? That's what we live in, right? We live in life, ain't we? Y'all ain't in heaven yet, huh? No, you live in life, right? Yeah, how does this work? How does this work? Reveal the Father. Reveal the Father. Whenever you're looking in His Word, whenever you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it should be enlightening you to reveal the Father. Think about the minister, grace to the hero. Is the first person down talking about minister, grace to the hero? You know what that is, huh? You know what it is? Minister, the Word of God. The Word of God falls under grace. It helps you. It trains you to do right and to do the right thing. The minister will keep you right all the time. The Word. Minister, grace to the hero. Minister, the Word of God to the hero. Because the Word of God, my son, you are cleansed through my word. The Word of God is the thing that enters in and changes your perception of life. Changes your function. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. That means I gotta hear this word and bring faith in me, and it changes me to make me do something different. Reveal the Father. I'm going to go to Revelation. We don't need another Revelation. You know, deep one you think you got? You don't need that. Reveal. If Jesus told reason we're here with the reveal of Father, what do you think yours is? You got a deeper one in here? Still reason to reveal the Father. What is God's mind on that? Tomorrow you're going to pass somebody. They might come to you with a problem, might come to you with a situation. Somebody might ask you a question. You better be praying in the Holy Ghost and been ready. If not, you better pray a couple minutes right then and try to find out what the mind of God is on that situation. Huh? Reveal the Father. Amen. You better go to your separate class. I think y'all gonna go back to y'all class over here. As it is, y'all release to go home and may give y'all some instructions. I think y'all may have to watch something online. That's fine, but you're going home early. Come on, y'all better give them.